Wow. Wow, that's encouraging, huh? Wait till I tell my wife. She'll start to question your sanity. What's going on here? I got a standing ovation. I love it. Thank you. And how was everybody at the Rock Church today? Good? Yeah. It's great to be with you and to be connected to the Rock North County, right? That's pretty exciting too, don't you think? Let's give them a greeting there too. No standing ovation, but greetings, Rock North County, and it's great to be here, an honor for me. My name is Andrew Palau, and I'm the third of four boys to Luis and Pat Palau, and you're probably saying, who is Luis and Pat Palau? Well, that's my pops and my mom, and they're great. And Dad's an evangelist. He's been preaching in sort of unified area-wide outreaches for over 50 years all around the world. And he's from Buenos Aires, Argentina. I'm a gringo already. You can tell, or I wouldn't have said Buenos Aires, right? All the Spanish speakers here are like, what? It's a privilege to be here and to serve together. Dad sends his greetings. It's been well over a year of planning and preparations for the festival that's coming up now so quickly. But this is the season where all the churches are launching, just like we're kind of launching today and kicking off the real strategies of the festival. So you may have heard about it, and now we want you to understand fully what the festival is all about, what it is, and what you can do. And it's really exciting that over 436 churches from around the area, all the way from the North County down to Tijuana. We just had seven churches get involved from Tijuana. Over 70 of the churches are Spanish-speaking churches, so it's just awesome to see the body of Christ coming together for this outreach, where we will, at Mission Bay Park on September 11th, we will lift high the name of Jesus and His Word in that place, and we will proclaim the good news as we should, boldly and enthusiastically, and would encourage people to respond to that great message of good news that has changed our lives, and we will win as many people as possible to Jesus Christ. And it's very, very exciting what is happening here, and we're thrilled to partner with you again at the Rock Church and to have it here right in San Diego at this San Diego City Fest. It's the most exciting part of life. This is what we were created for, not festivals. Festivals are fun and all the rest, but the focus of the festival, that God would use us to introduce people to the Savior, to share that good news that changes lives and encourage people and assist them to enter into that right relationship with God, that changes everything. And that is what life is all about. And that is the power of God at work in this world. And it's so exciting. And one of the passages I wanted to read to you that is sort of a summary that the committees and the pastoral leadership here has been getting together. We've sort of focused around this passage, Jeremiah 29:7. It's just a simple verse that really encapsulates the heart and the vision of the festival. Let's look at that really quickly. Jeremiah 29:7. This is where Jeremiah, you know, sent a letter from Jerusalem to the exiles who had been moved away. And in the letter, he says, he says many things, but this is the part that I think is pertinent to the festival and to our vision for San Diego. He says, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And isn't that what we want for our city? When we think of San Diego and we think of our families here and we think of the young people, we just look at them and we long to see them living life and life to the full and prospering and enjoying all the good things of life. This is our desire for, I know for me and my two boys and my little baby girl and my family, this is what I long for, and for all the young people that face such great challenges, that they would experience peace in life and prosperity in this world. It's like a dream. And here it talks about seeking that actively, seeking the peace and prosperity, praying for the city, to the Lord for it, because when that city prospers, you too will prosper. And that's kind of a great summation of the festival. But we also realize that peace and prosperity as God delivers it begins only when you enter into a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do at the festival. Our efforts of seeking peace through the service projects that you guys do so well when you do something all the time. Now the whole city's coming together around that, and then the preaching of the good news. That's the ultimate good that we can provide. And so when you leave here today, I pray that you'll be more encouraged than you've ever been in your life, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive today, and that he is still doing great miracles in our midst. I mean, just look at your own life. He's done something great in your life, am I right? And he's doing miracles, and now he wants to use you. He wants to use you critically in the lives of others, and it's so exciting. This is what life is all about, and there's so much happening at The Rock and all over San Diego towards this very end, and it's going to be a great day. The best is yet to come, and I said earlier that it's great to partner again with you at The Rock, and some of you are probably saying, when did we ever partner with you before anyway? Well, I'll tell you, some of you may remember, if any of you ever went to Jamaica with the Miles Ahead Festival, did anybody go? Good job. I'm so grateful that you went to Jamaica, and I'll tell you why. Well, we were there together because in that festival, in that 1 week period, just it seems like I would have said last year, but it was 3 years ago, I realize now. In that 1 week period, 3 years ago, three springs ago, Miles was in Montego Bay and Dad was in Kingston and I was in Mandeville, and we each had our cities and and they rallied in such an incredible way, and we were able to speak to the entire island, to the entire island of Jamaica, the entire nation. Over 250,000 people came to those events, and we were able to share the good news with them face to face, and so many others touched through the media and all the other activities of that festival, and it was very, very exciting, and I hope we get to do it again. Maybe in Jamaica, maybe somewhere else in the world. I hope we can keep collaborating and working together. And I say thank you from the people of Jamaica. And I can kind of do that because I'm married to a beautiful Jamaican woman. Isn't that great? So on behalf of all the people of Jamaica, her family is all out there, her brothers, and we say thank you. Keep praying for Jamaica, okay? You may have seen there was a little civil unrest down there not long ago, and there's a lot of needs. The churches are rallying to try to address some of those things, but Jamaica is a place that is very connected in my heart. How many of you realize there are days in our life that just mark us? Not very many, but there's a number of days in our life that just mark us deeply, and for some reason, many of those days, for me, have been in Jamaica. So God has connected my heart to Jamaica. One of those days that marked me was the day I married my beautiful wife, Wendy. Of course, that was one of the highlights of my life, and all the family is there, and it tied me in officially as a family member to Jamaica. But that was a great day, a positive day. Another day that marked me very deeply, very critically, was just last December 22nd. I wish I had time to tell you more about this. We won't be able to go into any details, but on December 22nd, you may have seen pictures in the paper and heard the reports that an American Airlines 737 crashed off the end of the runway on the beach at Norman Manley Airport, skipped across the road, broke into three pieces, and by God's great mercy and in many, many series of miracles that we see more and more about, God spared us all, me and my wife, my three children, and all the 154 other passengers on that plane. And I am so grateful, and I'm asking God to use me more and more in recognition of the incredible miracles that he did on our behalf. It's hard to understand because sometimes those tragedies don't end up that way, but by God's grace, that was a good day for us, December 22nd. But no offense to my beautiful wife, Wendy, or to American Airlines, but both of those things really pale in comparison to the third day that marked my life that ties me to Jamaica to the point where I can even say, if you're Jamaican, you'll understand what this means. I can say, I'm on Banya. I'm on Banya is a Jamaican way of saying, I was born here. I was born in Jamaica because in 1993, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ there at Kingston National Stadium, jokes on me, at a Luis Palau crusade at the age of 27. Can you believe it? You can run, but you can't hide. But I'll tell you more about that later, but maybe we should come back around to some of the details of the festival, because we got to kick it off right. I really want you to understand what the festival is all about, but I also want to share my testimony with you, and I want to share the good news with you, because if you're here today, we're going to talk about a lot of things that you may not really relate to, but I think you'll relate to what God has done in my life and to the good news. And maybe if you're spiritually seeking, maybe God's doing some things in your heart, drawing you, orchestrating some of your life's circumstances to recognize that there's something about this spiritual reality of your life, and I think that God has brought you here for a very specific purpose here. But let's get to the details of the festival. You know, the leadership chose to launch the festival this Saturday, so stick with me on the strategic side. We've got to make plans. We've got to make this work, and it will work, but it depends on you. Imagine 436 churches all across the area coming together to make these plans and to get ourselves organized. It's going to work, and it's going to be very, very powerful, and it will impact this area for generations to come. We want you to leave here fully aware of what's going on, fully committed, fully prepared. We want you to know what the festival is, and we want you to know exactly what to do. Because once you see what it is, you'll be so excited, and you'll just want to say, what can I do? And the best way for me to show you what it is to not just yammer on and on and on, which I am prone to doing, but to show you a video. So we'll show you a video, you can see what it is, and then I want to draw your attention to this prayer card, because there's a lot of other pieces, a lot of information, a lot of things you can get involved with. I want to talk to you about all of them, but it all boils down to this prayer card. So in your bulletin, even as we watch the video, why don't you pull out your prayer card and be ready for that, because after you see what we're going to be doing down there, I want to draw your attention to what I'm going to ask you to do and the commitment that I'm going to ask you to make today, okay? Let's watch a video.
Imagine government, the church, and business leaders coming together in a partnership that I think is truly unique.
We are here to be the body of Christ and to love and serve this city.
We have a chance to make a difference for eternity in people's lives.
Thousands of volunteers, hundreds of churches, and scores of businesses and organizations are uniting to meet the needs of our community.
I'm doing this because I am trying to develop the heart of Jesus.
This service is a form of worship. This activity is just another praise song.
We've been able to build a relationship, and I've been able to share Christ.
I didn't know there was people out there so wonderful and so helpful and to do things like this for people.
It's not just about today, but it's about the day after and the day after that. And we're here for the long haul.
The largest crowd ever to attend a festival event at the waterfront jammed the park this weekend.
The crowd is huge. Look at all the people.
We gotta have music if we're gonna have a celebration. I like the guys.
Throw your hands up! Throw your hands up!
I like the gals. I like what they stand for.
Anybody get excited about worshiping Jesus?
I don't necessarily personally listen to that music. But I like the kids who like the music, and that's why we do it.
You use the weak to lead the strong.
Pray for 5 to 10 people in your neighborhood, people you work with, people you go to school with. Invite them to serve with you and bring everyone you know to City Fest.
How can I keep from shouting your name?
My sister had asked me to come to a Luis Palau event.
If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you and that He came to save you, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you shall be saved.
It resonated with me that I was a sinner and I was separated from God, and that Jesus loved me enough that He would die for me. And God was calling me. And so I raised my hand.
How can I ever say enough?
your neighbor, your friend, could be transformed right here. Imagine.
Well, it's going to be very exciting, and I think it's pretty self-evident what's going to be happening down there. We're going to have the greatest party San Diego has ever seen, and you know, we'll start at noon and we'll go till 9 o'clock. There's stuff happening all over the Mission Bay Park. We'll have the children's area, and there's all the activities that you can see, everything you can imagine. So bring out the children, bring out the neighborhood. Bob and Larry, you know, the tomato and the cucumber, they'll be there, and they'll have their own little stage, and they'll sing, you know, "Where is my hairbrush?" And the crowd will go wild. Ah, and Larry. And the kids will gather around there. And then our good friend Mark Thompson will give a gospel presentation. So one of the unique things that you need to be aware about the festival is that there will be multiple proclamations of the good news each day, throughout the day at all of these different events. And so we need you to be prepared as counselors, ready to serve and walk people forward in their newfound faith. So the children's area is critical. There's the extreme sports demos, top national street style skaters, FMX, BMX bikers, and they'll also do their demos, but they'll stop and they'll share with the people, you know, "We love you, we love our sport, but the most important thing in our life is Jesus Christ," and they'll share their testimony, they'll share the gospel, and people will come right onto the skate park and receive the Lord, and you'll be there to help them, counseling them, and I pray that it will not just be some random person, but it be your friends, your family, your neighbors, that you're there going forward with them. And there's the music, of course, full-blown, world-class music festival, and then Dad will have his chance there, sharing the good news off the main stage, and I'll share my testimony earlier in the day. So as I share my testimony later, if there's someone that you think of that might relate to that you could bring down there, I'll share my testimony. Dad will bring the good news, and we'll finish up with more music. The worst thing that could happen to you at the park is that you bring your friends and they have a good time. That's the worst thing, okay? Well, there is one worse thing. You come down there without your friends and you have a good time, and then you'll feel so guilty, and I'll be like, "I told you so." So make sure and listen up to this next part, because this is what it's all about. I mean, there'll be a big ad campaign. That's not to alleviate you from making your invitations. That's only there to help you to be successful with your invitations. And so we'll have a big ad campaign, but anybody can purchase a big ad campaign. It's really the grassroots element of this festival that captures the attention of the city and really gets people buzzing, gets the media houses very interested. So would you please, one of the things we're asking you today is get a yard sign, take a couple home, ask your neighbor who would be willing to put one in, maybe from a different church or whatever. Take one to your business. We have banners. You can sign up for a banner at the booth in the back. And if you have a nice business or a location you think that would work, they'll help you to organize that. But all of those things, oh, and there's this invitation piece, which you already have one of today. Grab a stack, keep in your pocket everywhere you go, and think of different ways to invite people. And this is a nice tangible piece to turn the corner. When you talk about it and you're telling your friends about it, but when you deliver that piece, it kind of makes it a little more tangible. It's free, there'll be no offering taken, so you can bring as many people as you want. But really, all that, we need you to be a counselor. So on August 30th, you'll hear more about the counseling, really critical. Challenge yourself, push yourself. We need volunteers between then and now and then, and we need volunteers on site by the hundreds. Please check in on Facebook. You'll get a lot of updates there to match everything that's going on here to promote and to help you at the Rock Church. But really, if any of those things distract you from this, then I want you to forget about them, okay? Now, I find it hard to say that because those are very important things and we need you to get involved, but they should never be an excuse to say, "I'm going to do these kind of things. I'm going to put out the yard signs. I'm going to be a counselor, but I'm not going to really get into the whole bringing my friends thing because that must be someone else's job." And I want to encourage you, no. This is the one thing that we're asking every follower of Jesus Christ to do, to really take a step of faith, risk relationship. You'll be proud to bring your friends down there. And we're saying to you, faithfully pray for your friends. Re-up your commitment to faithfully praying for your friends and bring them to the festival. And this is not just about this season here for the festival. This is about maybe taking a step forward for the rest of your life, making that commitment, praying for those people, watching those seeds get planted and some growing and some coming to fruition. It'll change your life. And we want this to be about the festival, but we also want it to be about about your entire life. And what we want everyone to do is to take this card, and you can take your card and just tear it in half and hold on to the one side that has the section that says, "We are praying daily for San Diego." Join us by listing the names of five people you want to come to know Jesus Christ. Take that part and hold on to it. And even now, put the names of the people that God has put on your heart that you will pray for, that you will commit and dedicate right now to praying for and inviting and bringing to the festival. You will never be sorry that you've done it. And you may have your lifers that you'll put on there, you know, the people that you don't need no stinking prayer card for, to remember to pray for them, right? Because they're always on your heart. They're always on your mind. You see their life and their circumstances, and you long for them to know the Savior. Put their lifers on there if you would. But also ask God for some special insight of someone that you can reach that maybe no one else has an opportunity to reach, someone you may have never thought about before. And even now, as I'm challenging you about this, if a name or a face pops into your mind, put them down. Don't hesitate. Just put their name down and say, "God, I don't know how you would do it, but I'm putting this name down. Please open the door," and you'll be amazed at the miracles that God will do to open up that door of opportunity. And this prayer card is what it's all about. And I love this prayer card. You know, not the card, of course, but the reality that it represents, because that reality that people would pray for their friends and invite them to know Christ, that's the story of my life. I was born and raised in a great Christian home, and my parents were wonderful. They loved me. They practiced what they preached, you know, in as much as is humanly possible, right? I mean, Dad's just a regular guy. He's got a bad temper, and I could tell other stories on him and all the rest. He's a regular guy, but he's a great guy. And, you know, he really was an excellent testimony about life and living life in Jesus Christ. You know, I could see that even to this day at 76, he's still changing and growing and asking God to renew him and make him different. And it's an awesome testimony. I saw it all my life. I had a great church, just like this one. Didn't see a lot of hypocrisy there or any such thing. But despite those blessings and many, many other blessings in my life, from the youngest of ages, I just turned my back on the things of God. And I went my own direction because I thought I had a better plan. And at the ages of 13, 14, 15 years old, I got into sneaking out of the house and stealing liquor out of my friends' liquor cabinets, their parents' liquor cabinets, and stealing beer out of the neighbors' garages. And we would drive our Jeeps up into the hills of Portland, Oregon, where I'm from, and have keggers up there and party. And marijuana is the number one cash crop in the state of Oregon. Not a legal crop, but the number one cash crop. And we could get a bag of dope anywhere. And I'm ashamed to tell you that I built my entire foundation for life on these ridiculous things. Whoever could do the most shameful, outrageous thing, the most hurtful thing at night, and then laugh about it the next day, that's how we just kind of built our life around those ridiculous things. Went that way through high school, went off to the University of Oregon, and outside of the constraints of home, I just went downhill fast and got involved with all the other drugs that the world has to offer, all the relationships that go along with that partying lifestyle, just increasingly shameful and painful, and graduated from the university eventually. I had an extended plan there, and went and moved from Oregon to Boston, Massachusetts, and slowed down my partying a little bit there, not for any spiritual reasons, but just because I had to get up and go to work in the morning, right? But nothing had changed in my heart, and I just came to realize that over time, I just found myself increasingly just filling my life with fear and anxiety, and I had this incredible sense of shame and guilt, and a real proper sense of shame and guilt because of all of the garbage in my life, and everything that started out for fun, it seems like it had just entrapped me, and I found myself enslaved to all of this garbage, you know. And I could take a long time to share with you all of the various ways in which I was trapped by the enemy and by my own actions in all that, but there's no time for all that, and you wouldn't want to hear it anyway. But I'll pick on one just to give you a picture of where I was at in my heart and in my spirit. Alcohol. I abused alcohol in this way. It turns out that I could never go to bed sober at night. in that time. I realized that if I ever found myself in that position, sober, in my bed, in the pitch dark, with my thoughts and all the people that I'd hurt and all of my lying and my cheating and my stealing and the abusive relationships and my arrogance and my pride and all of that garbage in my life and so much more, it would just flood my mind and my heart, and I would just lay there in bed and just agonize and just be full of anxiety, and I'd say, oh God, I can't stand this. And I so to avoid that, I would go out drinking, and I could find somebody to party with any night of the week pretty much, and in case I couldn't find somebody to party with, I would just sit in my little sofa there in my little apartment in Boston and watch baseball late into the night. And around 2 or 3 in the morning, now I'm going to date myself here, but back in the day at about 2 or 3 in the morning, remember the TV would, they would like sign off for the broadcast day and it would go, shh, remember that sound? I didn't even hear that sound anymore. 24-hour day, 100 television stations to watch. But back then, I would drink until I passed out on the couch. I'd hear that sound, and I hated that sound so much. And I'd turn off the TV and roll into bed, and then the alarm would go off, and I'd get up and go to work. And I had this terrible cycle going on, all just to hide from the reality that I faced, all of that shame and that guilt. And, you know, I think that that guilt, you know, in the world around you today, people will say, you gotta get rid of that guilt. You gotta forgive yourselves. You shouldn't feel guilty. And they try to just sort of shortcut that reality of guilt and shame in our life. But you know, the guilt is a beautiful gift from God, a wonderful gift that He allows to help us to recognize that there is something real and serious and significant about our life and our circumstances that we're facing. And then we have this growing recognition that there's a penalty to be paid for all this, and it's going to come down, and it's going to come down hard. And we recognize it, but we just try to hide from it. So guilt was a beautiful gift for me. I just didn't realize it at the time. I hated it so much. Also, eternity hounded me when I was there in my bed late at night, sober in those rare moments. I would think about eternity, and I would have told you at that time that those issues of eternity, oh, those things are unknowable. Those are beyond the mind of man to comprehend. Not some give you some philosophical baloney that I learned at the University of Oregon there. But guess what? In my heart, in the dark, sober, I knew exactly what my situation was, and it was not good. So all of those things were hounding me, and this is the circumstance I was in when my dad called me. So that's probably 27 years of my life in about 10 minutes. Didn't go that fast for poor dad, right? He saw all of that, and his heart was broken. He had great dreams for me, one of his four sons, going off in this direction, and his heart was broken. And he felt like he didn't know what he could do. And him and mom, they just said, we don't know what to do. But they felt that way, but they actually did know exactly what to do. They just looked at the Word of God, and they did these things. They lived this life as an example to me. They knew that if anything good was going to happen in my life, it was going to be God's work. That they had done everything within their power, and they would continue to do that, but it was going to be God's work. So they just decided to live that life as an example, and they determined to pray because they knew there's great power in prayer. As mysterious as it is, they knew that God would respond to their pleading and their appeals, and they had hundreds of people praying for me, as I come to find out. And when I find someone that prayed for me, they'll say, oh, I prayed for you all those years. And I just say, are you kidding me? I just want to thank him and just say, I don't even know you, and you prayed for me, and you got on your knees before God on my behalf and asked for him to have mercy on me, and he's done it. Don't you know the power of the prayers that went into my life? And I want to thank them and just not brush it off and move on, but to stop and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. They prayed for me, but they also acted otherwise. They didn't only pray, they also periodically, lovingly would share with me the good news, because they knew that the good news of Jesus Christ had real power to change a life. And they didn't want me to just be a good boy, stop crashing their cars, right? They wanted me to become a man of God. They knew that I was created for this purpose and that I had this possibility within me. but that I was wasting it and moving away. So they shared with me the good news. And they had no idea what would work or when my time would be, but they tried everything. And when I was little and Dad could get his hands around me, he'd say, "Son, let's go for a walk." I'd be like, "Oh, no, not the walk. I don't want to go for the walk. It's going to be so awkward, and I know what's coming." And sure enough, he'd wake me up. We'd walk around the streets of Portland. He'd say, "Son, we love you. You got lots of friends. You know how to have a good time, but you're looking for life in this direction. And I have to warn you as a father who loves you that in that direction, you're going to find death." And how right he was. And how I wish I would have listened to him when I was younger. But I was so foolish. I would just weasel my way out of it. I just had a rebellious heart. And I wasn't the rebellious, you know, stereotypical, angry, "I hate God, I hate religion, you can't shove it down my throat." I was just that weaselly, wormy, you know, follow the path of least resistance. And they just couldn't pin me down, but they never gave up. Dad would write me letters, and at the university, I'd get these letters with Dad's scratchy handwriting, and I'd see him there at the frat house, and there's like 80 guys living in one house, and the smell alone will kill you, but there was a table, and everybody's mail came to that place, and every once in a while, I'd see a letter from Dad and his scratchy handwriting, and I'd go up in my room, and I'd open it up, and sure enough, same old thing. "We love you, son. Great to see you the other day. Da, da, da." Long introduction, as pastors are prone to giving. And then he would get right to the heart of the matter. Same thing he would share with 100,000 or 10,000 or 1,000 people he shared with his very own son, because he knew that was the power of God for my salvation. And I would just shove those letters just stuff them away. I was a pack rat. I'm so glad I have them now. You should see them. They're awesome. Sick campus crusade guys after me, and poor guys. I always see them come in, and I'd be like, "Oh, no, are you kidding me? This guy? Oh, man. And I always felt sorry for them. Now people ask me to go talk to their kids, and like, "Will you talk to my son? Maybe he'll listen to you." I'm like, "Oh, gosh, I doubt it." But I do it because I'm so grateful for the guys that did it for me. And I'm like, "This poor kid, he doesn't want to hear from me." But you got to do it because you never know what God is doing. And you plant that seed and you water that seed and you wait on God to do his work. And he's faithful and he finishes that work. And I'm so glad they never gave up on me. In 1993, Dad called me. I'm living in Boston, right? It's February, freezing cold, snow this deep. And he says, "Son, you know, we're having a festival. You should come." And I'm like, not my idea of a vacation anyway. Thanks anyway, Dad. I've been to a few festivals before. And he said, "Well, that's okay. We just thought you might be interested because this one's in Jamaica." And I'm like, Jamaica, huh? Well, don't be so hasty, Dad. I mean, maybe I can figure something out, right? So I'm thinking about red stripe beer on the beach, get some sun, and I know how to handle this Christian thing. And my parents, they're fun. I like being around my parents. All credit to them. You know, they kept that relationship close. They never threw me out of the house or strangled me like I'm sure they wanted to do. They loved me and kept that relationship close so they could make that invitation. And as I went out there, God just did the most incredible things. I had no sense of expectation, but looking back now, I realize there are so many things that the Holy Spirit of God was doing along the way in my life, orchestrating my thoughts and my circumstances, and I had read some books and all of these things. No individual human could have ever orchestrated all those things, and as I look back now, I just see that merciful hand of God positioning me to this very place where I would hear that good news one more time. But one thing I will share with you, as I went out there, there were some young people who had radically experienced a revival in their little Bible study group, and all of these guys kind of my age that I met out there had been recently just completely transformed by this message of good news, healed in their relationships, healed of their addictions, and they're talking about all this stuff, and I began to think to myself, you know, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, what if it was true? And I began to call out of my heart, "God, if this is true, I would really, really like to know. Because look at my life. It's such a mess. And I've got this mask that I wear for the world to see. Everything's fine with Andrew, but you know what's going on." And I just began to call out to God, "God, if you're real, just reveal yourself to me." And I was calling out to God sincerely in my heart. And it was sort of multiple days of this going on. And then on the final day, I'm there at the Kingston National Stadium. And there's thousands of people around. And there's Dad sharing the same old thing, right? He's only got one message and lots of stories. And he works it around this way and that way. But he always comes down to that one thing. And I heard that message, and I just knew God is calling me. He wants to reveal himself to me. And I just turned my heart to him, and I said, God, what is keeping me from you? And when I called that thing out to the Lord, I said, God, what is keeping me from you? It's like he just said, aha, you really want to know what's keeping me from you, Andrew? And I said, yes, what is it? And he just opened up my eyes to see what was keeping me from him. All of the garbage in my life, all of my lying and cheating and stealing and all of that stuff and so much more. It's like it was right there before me. And I was just absolutely broken, and I saw it there, and I thought the guilt was harsh. But when I saw it in that moment, the way God sees it, I was totally like shattered. I just was like broken. I began to bawl my head off. I never cried a day in my life till then. Now I cry every day when I think about the goodness of God in my life, you know, and what he's done to rescue me out of that place. And I just was bawling. I was like, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm so ashamed of myself. How could I have done it? And he just took it and took it and took it, just like he promises to do. He says, if you confess your sin, I am faithful and I'm able to forgive you of those sins and to clean you out, to cleanse you of all that unrighteousness. And it was like a 180-degree turnaround for me in that day. And I've been able to walk with God and begin to grow in him. That was 17 years ago. And now I'm actually like a preacher. It's like I'm a poster child for how this thing can work and should work. And I've been able to grow and be faithful to my wife, faithful to my children, which is an absolute miracle from God, you know. He is so good. I share that story with you in great hopes that you would be encouraged about the festival and about your life and about the power of prayer and God's desire to use you in people's lives, that you would pray for people and invite them to know Jesus in any way that you can. But the festival is a great tool if ever there was, and it's set up for this very purpose. I encourage you, don't give up even on the most difficult nuts to crack in your life. Okay? That's one reason I share it with you. The other reason is just simply because you may be here and you may say, I'd love to pray for my friends and invite them to know Christ, Andrew, but I'm much more like where you were. Today I'm sitting here and I am much more like where you were before. And if that's you, I share my story with you because I want to encourage you that if you feel God calling, knocking at the door of your heart, orchestrating your life situation and circumstances that he's trying to show himself to you, that I want to encourage you that he is. He is. And you've come here today not by accident, but to hear this very message. And I want to share with you very quickly the same message that my dad shared with me. And it's simply this. And this is what God would say directly to your heart here today. He says, I love you. I see all of your life from start to finish, and I still love you, says the Lord. And one of the ways he puts it is in Jeremiah 1. He says, before I created you in your mother's womb, I knew you, says the Lord, and I created you for a purpose. And for every one of us, that purpose is to be in a relationship with him. But we have a problem, don't we? If we're honest, we will realize that our relationship is broken. If we've never confessed our sin and given him our life, that relationship we were made for, it's broken. But you're not alone. The Bible says all of us like sheep have gone astray, each one to their own way. That's the bad news. Then he always brings in the good news. The good news is this. All of us like sheep have gone astray, each one to their own way, but God laid on Jesus the sins of us all. You can have that relationship again because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross to pay that penalty that we feel bearing down upon us. He paid it. Dead and buried, but he rose again with power. And that power is the same power that will allow you to live the life that you long to live. When he comes into your heart and fills you with his Holy Spirit, he will forgive you. He will empower you to begin to grow and move forward in that relationship. And he gives that great promise of eternity. And I want to encourage you, if you've never given him your heart, do it today. And I can help you. And I'll lead you in a little prayer. And you can do this serious work with the God of this universe right here in this place. And there's no better place and there's no better day than today. Let me lead you. Let's bow our heads. And if you're willing, pray this prayer. Listen to this last verse as I approach that prayer. This is John 1:12. To all who received him, Jesus. To those who believed in his name, Jesus. He gave them the right to become children of God. And that's just a beautiful picture of the relationship that you were made for, made whole. Walking and living life with him like a father, like a perfect father and a child. You can just pray something like this. Not my words, but your heart connecting to the living God. You can say, Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for never giving up on me. Please forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I receive you now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit because I need power. I have not had it before. And thank you for heaven, that great promise that when I die, or when you come again, I'll be with you forever. Thank you for rescuing me this day, and I'll serve you forever. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome.